Our Father in heaven, you allowed us to be born in this life at this generation. I don't know why you let us to be born in 21 centuries and live and see a lot of things happening, especially how we see all the wickedness that is thriving. And as a psalmist, the one who wrote the Psalms, cry out, when your justice will come. But we know already at the end of the book of the Bible that Jesus said, I will come quickly. So I know that you already prepared everything that is in your power to remedy all the problem that this world is going through, especially those who are suffering and pain and injustice. We know that you are the only solution for human tragedies. That's why you came to this world and you gave up your life for us. And you promised that you'll come back. And the second coming of Christ is our hope. And it will happen within our generation or within my own lifetime, we don't know yet. But as we see the signs and all the indications that are going through, we know time is so soon, sooner than later. We're humbly here today to pray for this country. And we'll have another election just very shortly. And Bible says, you are in control. And we just pray that as you asked, we pray for the leaders. And you are the one who will appoint the one that fits the best. Sometimes we are asking only temporary things, but you are the one who see everything from eternity to eternity. So help us to understand your wisdom, to see things from your perspective. And so we humbly come to ask for your will, not our will be done for the destiny of this America, which already has been predicted in the Bible. And we also pray for those five people we named, their special need, physical conditions especially. And we are claiming that you're the one who heals humanity in their specific needs. So we are asking for a special blessing upon them. And I also pray for those who came here today for the first time of their life. And I know they have a heart towards you, as you wrote in the Bible that you gave the eternity, the mind of eternity to humanity. So unless we resolve that eternal issue, we are always restless. So we come to you, Jesus, today to ask for your peace and your plan and your blessing. And so we commit our life to you today through this worship service, because we ask all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God that He is with us, and He will direct the affair of the human history. Because why? History is His story, as you know, right? Several months ago, our head elder asked me, how about some health lecture in the setting of the pulpit time about the new start concept? And I think today, if you heard that children's story, you already mastered that. So really, I don't have to say any new words, but I think some of you never heard the word new start. And also, a lot of people probably heard about that. But there's always something you can review and relearn and rethink about what you have already known. And so even if I gave you some information that is redundant in your memory, please accept my apology. But at the same time, I think the medicine and health issue has been so much rampant in this world right now with through the internet. And so it is very important for you to have a backbone of the this principle, because as Jesus said, I am the what? The way and the truth. I don't know why Jesus didn't say, I am the truth and I am the way. In my personal opinion, there are so many different ways. But Jesus said, in order to you reach the way, you have to start with the right place and right road. That's why I think it's very important for us to be in a right way to reach the right destination. And so this new start is something, I will give you some background what it meant, but at least it has a what? Seven different ideas, right? Eight different ideas. So if I want to talk about one topic at this time, at least it will take about eight different occasions. But today I will give you some outline and the background. And you probably, as you come along with me in this journey of understanding the new start, you'll hear a lot of things you never even heard about, because there are so much information that are floating in front of our eyes. And so sometimes we don't know which way is right. But I think as long as you have a real biblical principle, you will understand a lot of them. Now, the title today is, probably you already figure out why I choose the title, Secrets of Living Longer. Because there was a very well-known publication, this National Geography. And this one was published in 2005. I shared through my career a lot of patients that, so this book has been almost ripped now. But I'm glad I had some slides that I made before. But I will go over with this first. So this title of this magazine has The Secrets of the Living Longer. Now, probably you don't know much of the, I'm a Korean, but I know some history of the Chinese culture. And there was one very famous emperor. His name is Qinshi Tuangdi. We call Jinshi Huangjie, but in Chinese words is Qinshi Tuangdi. And he was the first emperor of the Chinese continent. Because at that time, there are many different smaller kingdoms. But he's the one who actually conquered all of them and under one empire. So he was the first emperor. But he knew that. He actually died at age 50. But he was looking for a special, what they call, elixir of life, special herb that will never make you aging or make you die. So he asked his confidant to look for some other country to find that special herb. So according to the history, he sent this man with 70 ships, and then about 5,000 people, and then and also some other young children, about 3,000, according to the story, and send it. So which country he ended up? Because if he send some people with a ship from China, the geography, it either go to Taiwan or Japan or Korea. So the history tells that they all claim that, oh, he sent our country. But I think as a Korean, Korean historian says, yeah, they end up with a largest island of Korea in the south of the Korean peninsula. They call Jeju. That's where he landed. But anyway, they couldn't find any of those things that this emperor was looking for. But today we found this title says, there's a secret of living longer. When I saw this article many years ago, it was really mind-blowing. Because in the past, people are looking for some who are so healthy and stronger and living longer. But they claim, oh yeah, there's somebody in the mountain, he's 120-year-old, or over there, 150-year-old. But you cannot verify their actual ages. So actually, this National Geographic, they actually look into birth certificate, things like that. So it is very, at least more reliable information that we can trust. I don't know whether you like the National Geographic or not. This is, however, very, very pro-evolutionistic idea. Okay, but however, they always make some news at the demand of the public. So I think it was due for them to really look for different countries. Where is a community where they live long life and healthier life than the rest of the people? So they found the three places globally. The first one is here, this lady. She looks like Asian. Of course, she's from Okinawa, Japan. So she was 89 years old and still in the field, you know, grabbing this seaweed, which I like very much. This is a pure vegetarian, real nice, tasty things. I enjoy it very much. But she's collecting that. But I'm glad, I'm seeing that she has a lot of arthritis in the hands. And her skin is like wrinkled, okay? However, in Okinawa, average age is about 82. But she's past 82, and then she was, at that time, it was 2005. It was 89-year-old. And the other country that they found was Italy, Sardinia. And this is very rural, and mountain, and forest, and hills. And so people like him, walking every day and enjoying nature. And as we heard about, air, sunshine, water, all these things are excellent. And so this is another one. But the whole issue turned out to be very dramatic in a way. The third places they found was not in Russia, not in Himalayan, or not any other place, but where? Loma Linda, California, USA. This is an amazing story at the time. This lady is a 100-year-old, and she is driving back and forth. Actually, she's retired, of course. Her husband was passed away long time ago, who was a physician, and she was volunteering some social agencies, and she always drive that freeway. I don't know what was the freeway from Loma Linda to down to California. I mean, the LA is a big road, and she was driving, and then apparently this National Geographic photographer actually took the picture of peanuts, Coca-Cola, or whatever things which she doesn't like. But it's a kind of contrast. But she was so active at the age of 100. Now, this is another 100-year-old man who also is a water skiing since he was water skiing about 1938, according to his story. And so a lot of gear has been changed, but his stamina, his strength is still very good and enjoying. Look at his muscle, like iliotibial tract here, quadricep muscle, strong. His upper here, brachioradialis or extensor discectomies, those muscles are very strong. I tried once, many years ago, I couldn't stood up, so I gave up. Wow. Now, this is exactly the same, the one that you see, the three circle. So what happened was those three community, they, this National Geography people, they kind of figure out what are their main lifestyle that is so much different. So they added up, and there is at the inside that black color, that's where they have a common factors. Now, remember, National Geography, they don't like religion. But somehow, Loma Linda has different story than the other group. And so, however, in this particular case here, actually the common denominator is they have what? They have a simple life. And they also have a family as a priority. And also they have a community, communal interactions. So like what we are doing here is once a week, what? This is a communal, in a relationship, fellowship. Very important mental and physical health. And then they also have a special food. And then we'll discuss about this. Now, the third group is Loma Linda, California. Not just because people in Loma Linda are healthier, but there are a special group there living. They call Adventist. And I ask sometimes some people, what is Adventist? They don't figure out. They could not figure out. I ask a lot of Christian people. Adventist is somebody who believes Advent. What is Advent? They don't figure out what is Advent. Advent means Christ coming. Christ, he came first time as a baby. That was we call first Advent. And his story is not ended there, right? He lived 33 and a half years, and he died on the cross because of the crucifixion accusation that he never had any committed any sin or any crimes, but he died, and it was God's plan that his death will be what? The plan that he will become. He will become all sin of humanity. And because of he took all our sins in himself, he has to give what he has to us, which is Bible says his righteousness. So because of that, we are so much highly appreciative of Christ's death and his resurrection. And Bible never ends there. And he ascended to heaven. And when disciples looking up, angels said, why are you people Galilee, why are you looking at him? The one who going up there will come back in the same way. And that is his second coming. So the Adventists are the one who believe second coming of Jesus Christ. That means what? Not just Seventh-day Adventists, but also what? All the Christendom of the Christian people who believe second coming, they are rightfully can be called as Adventist. The only difference is what? We are Seventh-day Adventists, and those people, they are Sunday Adventists. But eventually, I know there will be a unity. When you follow the way of Jesus Christ, and you'll end up with the way, the truth of Jesus Christ. You know, this is a side story. When I was thinking, this day we are so much fighting between what? Leftist and rightist, right? Leftist and rightist. But Bible doesn't say that will be the end. Bible says, what did Jesus say? You are from what? You are from the beneath. And I'm from what? Above. So end result is that what? Not the fight between leftist and rightist, but beneathist and aboveist. The one who believe Christ's way and his commandment and his salvation and his love will become the aboveist. But those who refuse Jesus will be beneathist. There are many people who are in the leftist and rightist. They have to make that decision eventually, whether they will be aboveist or beneathist. You'll see all these things in our eyes. But anyway, so the one on the left side, there is somebody who is helping the, you know, surgery. He was at that time 91. And this man is, I think, now more than 100 years old, Dr. Wareham. So these are the Adventists who are building up the community where it is just like Sardinia or Okinawan. They are very helpful life. But I was thinking, you know, out of those three community, which community has worst environment in terms of air, in terms of sunlight, in terms of noisy, all these things? Yeah, Loma Linda. I mean, I visited Loma Linda several times. I like Oregon, okay? Yeah, you cannot live in there. But if you live there, maybe you will associate with that and maybe don't care about it. But I think if these people live in Sardinia or Okinawa area, probably they'll be far superior. That's why as the Bible we just read today, Exodus chapter 15 says, if you keep my words and hearken to my commandment, I will bless you so that you will have no other diseases, none of the diseases that was happened in the Egypt. And he said what? I am the Lord is the one who heals us. You know what? In modern medicine, such a great improvement, but modern medicine cannot give you healing. They can only give you treatment. What are the difference between the two? Treatment, when you finish the treatment, doctor says, oh, there's nothing we can find in the lab or anything. You're very good. So we finish your treatment. But treatment usually end up with a remission. Remission means what? It is not completely, it will come back. Especially when we talk about cancer. The one we just prayed for Tom, he needs really God's miraculous power because his cancerous issue again. But anyway, only it is the God who heals us. You know, when we talk about New Start, those New Start is not done really healing us. When we have a lifestyle that fits with the healing, that's New Start, then God can work with that person a lot faster, a lot more permanently. And so we have to have a little bit different concept. Not just what we eat, this and that food. No, it is more bigger principle behind. Remember, it is the God who heals us. Now, this is something I found it out in many years ago. And as you know, this U.S. News and World Report. And this one was 2009. It's so small letter. But here it says 10 health habits that will help you live to what? 100. And here it says, you know, do not retire. Maybe that's why I don't want to retire myself. And you floss every day. And number 3, move around. Be active, okay? And number 4, you have a good breakfast. Fiber-rich cereal. And number 5, get at least 6 hours of shut eye. 6 hours sleep, at least. And then number 6, consume whole food, not supplement. A lot of times, supplement is just end up with expensive urine. But anyway, and then number 7, be less neurotic. And then number 9 here says what? Be a creature of the habit. So make yourself in a habitual lifestyle so that your neighbor says, oh, my neighbor, Mr. A, on Wednesday, he will go someplace. Saturday, he'll be go someplace. In other words, just as Jesus said, as a customary, that means always your life has to be a kind of very, very exact time. That would be a lot helpful to give less stress of your body. We'll discuss these things a lot later time. And then number 10, stay connected. We are here connected. But I didn't purposely show that number 8. Do you know what the number 8 is? What did he say? Live like a Seventh-day Adventist. And this is a secular newspaper, okay? But they are saying like that at the time. This is an amazing story. And I think all coming from what we are discussing here, okay? Now, in the Christendom, there are many, many different denominations, but no denomination ever emphasizing the important part of the health, not only physical health, but also spiritual health in the Christian life. Because why? Because they don't have them messages. When I become a Christian from Buddhistic idea, only thing I knew that, oh, like a Mormon church, they don't smoke, they don't drink coffee, that's all. But when I studied the teaching of Adventist understanding of the Bible, it is so deep. And that's why I think what we are seeing as I presented this program today, it really makes sense. And then that's why secular news organization even said that. In order you want to be 200-year-old, you live like Seventh-day Adventist. And then U.S. World Today here also said in 2011, Seventh-day Adventist Church is the fastest growing Christian denomination in North America. And there are, these days, a lot of churches are dwindling, closing down. But I really don't know. This is a couple decades ago, but I don't know whether this day Adventist Church is as fast growing as ever, like in the past, but not in America very much. But you know what? Denomination doesn't save us. It is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So whatever you see in the church, don't worry about that. Stick with Jesus Christ and dig into His truth every day. That is really help us to go through a lot of challenges that we are facing these days. This is another Newsweek, how to live forever. You know, and here, the top up there, you are what? You are a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. So there's no doubt that secular world recognize that Seventh-day Adventists are very unique because they come up with the Bible, the principle of health, and it boils down to the new start. But Bible says, Jesus says, how we distinguish false prophet and true prophet. We shall know by their what? By their fruit. So what it happened is very, very interesting. I'll go over some more. Now, after this original 2005 edition, the editor or the one who started this program to publish, he also published another addendum, which is a Blue Zones that I have. Now they found out two other community. One is in Greece, one is Costa Rica. They are kind of similar type of environment, like you know, Italy and Japan. So they added those two. But this book, actually, the idea is you don't have to go some other place to admire them. You can build your own Blue Zone in where you live. This Blue Zone, don't worry, this Blue Zone is not a political statement. It's not talking about blue and red. No, it's not that kind of state. We are talking about strictly health-wise, okay? Yeah. So here on the right top corner, it says, build your own Blue Zone and eat like the world's longest lived people. You know, if some people who live longer, I mean, there's some secret there. like Genghis Khan, I mean, what's his name? Yeah, Jinshi Huangzhe. Looking for something, the secret. Is there any secret? So this book at least claimed that that food, that special kinds of food is very important, which is basically, as most of you know, it's the food that has no mother, the food that has no food, I mean, no blood, and the food has no what? No face, okay? If you go through the grocery and if there's some face, it's not good for you, okay? That's what God's original food. And the, most of these people, they enjoy more with the natural food than those animal products. So you are based upon whether it's a plant-based diet or it's animal-based diet. That's where the crux of the matter is. And so the next one is discover ways to add life to your ears. So, you know, people are so dizzy, health-oriented, they do anything. In my country, right now, there is a big sensation where it's better to walk barefoot. And I have a couple of friends who are actually involved in that, and some are very, and it's very interesting result in terms of, like, their physical condition, diabetes, hypertension, and even prostate terminal cancer. They somehow got healed. But anyway, there are a lot of ways, but I think as we just read from the Bible, we have to find the way on the basis of the biblical way, which is basically New Start concept, which we'll deal with. And then make healthy choice the easy choice. A lot of time, even though you know the water, drinking water is good, but you don't like to drink, okay? So if you choose to healthy choice to drink water, it feels very uneasy choice. But that's the way I did. But this day, actually, when I wake up, within 10 minutes, I drink all of this. If I don't drink it, then what happened? I'm not happy. I'm all actually uneasy. So I want to drink water. In other words, your health principle and your healthy lifestyle has to be what? Joyful. And a lot of time we emphasize, oh, you should eat that only. And then you are sort of, look at how the children, you know, if the parents are pushing that you have to eat the spinach, oh, we don't like it. That become their ingrained, actually we talk about gene if we have the time. But it's very important. God doesn't want you to be forced. God wants you to have your spontaneous choice with enjoyment, because God's original plan is not coercion, but with a willingness, with a joyfulness. Otherwise, your New Start practice will become very stressful in your mind. Like exercise. You know, you exercise enough what you're enjoying, but from there on, it becomes a torture to you. Don't do it. So here, New Start concept is, as we heard this before. Now, in the plant kingdom, from this New Start, they only need the nutrition. They don't need the exercise plant. They need the water. They need the sunshine. They need the temperance. Why? Because if you give intemperance to the plant, give too much of water, it will die, right? Too much of sunshine, die. So temperance is very important. Of course, air. But they don't need I don't know whether they rest or not. But at least they are not the full eight concepts. However, animal needs what? They need exercise. So I never checked this, but I heard that this day, when you have an animal zoo, when the lion got cut and come into the zoo, what they are missing? They are not missing anything but exercise, right? When they saw the prey and they just run, and then that is their exercise for them. And if they don't have that exercise, they lose their motive of life, and their sexual desire also decreased. So a lot of time, you know, artificial insemination is how they keep the those lions in the zoo. And I hope you can check that out for me, whether that is correct or not. But here, in terms of the human kind, we need a new start. It means we are above the level of animal. We need the last T, the trust in the Lord, trust in God. Without that, new star become a new star. New star. You know, some celebrate people just come and then they just gone. Just like, you know, somebody who is so famous but gone away. No, we don't want that happen. We want to have the trust T. T is so important that bounds all the rest of things together. So what happened was before this original article came out, the Adventist church member, Christians, they are very unique in terms of their lifestyle. So it is very, very easy and a good cohort study. In other words, they are very similar kinds of lifestyle, not a mixed group. And so it is a lot easier to have some statistical analysis of their physical illness. So that's how they started with what they call Adventist Health Study, and from the Loma Linda Medical School. The Loma Linda is, you probably heard, is one of the major medical school, and it was running almost more than 110 years now. So it's very established medical institution. I don't know, they are sometimes too much on the other side, but anyway. And so this is an excellent study that they had. And from that study, actually they found out this is only the study of Californians, Adventist versus non-Adventist. And Californian Adventists found that they have actually 4 to 10 years of longer life and healthier life with less of all kinds of cancer, less of the all cardiovascular disease, diabetes, hypertension, because they are following this New START concept. And so at the time, the Harvard Medical School, they actually recognized, especially Adventists who eat the nuts like 3-4 times a week, they actually have a lot more beneficial impact of their health. So that is what actually Harvard Medical School, they recognized here. And so in terms of the nut, you know, we know that Ellen White said that you don't eat too much, but sparingly you eat that, it will help your cardiovascular condition, which is well proven. And then this Adventist Health Study, the second one they came, and we have a lot to cover, but what I'll do is I'll just give you highlight, and then we'll move on, and then as I have 8 different lecture series, we might just bring up some more, and that would be the best way. And so here, Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, the one we read, you know, if we diligently heed his voice, and we are right in his sight, and we keep his commandment, and keep all his statute. Commandment and statute are basically same concept. Then I will put none of the disease, because I'm the Lord who heals you. Now, in this scripture, very interesting thing is, we know that God gave 10 commandments when Israel people went to the Mount Sinai. which is recorded in Exodus chapter 20. So this is after chapter 15. So this one is actually before God gave them 10 commandments, right? However, here already God says Israel people, God presumed the Israel people knew about the 10 commandments. Because otherwise, if he didn't give Israel people during the Exodus chapter 15, then it is useless God to say that, oh, you keep my commandment. Here in chapter 15 and earlier, we know that there was a manna story, right? Manna. Manna story is what? It was God gave us 6 days heavenly bread. So people can collect and eat. And if they're more, they're glutinous, they keep it more than tomorrow. Maybe God is not going to give us it tomorrow, so we'll save it. But the next day, already it was spoiled. So God gave you a fresh one all the time. On the sixth day, God gave a double portion, because on the seventh day, God said, I'm not giving you earthly food. I'm going to give you spiritual food. So on the sixth day, God gave a double portion. And then on the next day, Sabbath, it didn't spoil. So that's how God trained them with the food. Like you train your dog with the food, right? So at that time, humanity has such a low level of understanding of God's knowledge. So God gave food to remember them to keep the Sabbath. Because Sabbath keeping is very important theologically, but I'm not going to talk about that now. But at least there is a promise that his commandment is the commandment that will protect us from all the disease that are brought on the Egypt. And it is God who is not just to treat, he's going to be the one who heals. Yeah. Now, okay. This Robert Hooke is a very important person in the understanding of human biology, because he is the first one who actually invented a very primitive cell and primitive microscope to look at the smaller size that we cannot see with our naked eyes. So he's an Englishman. He's very famous. They call the polymath. Have you heard of polymath? Poly means it's a love, filial, you know, the filial, the love, brotherly love, Philadelphia, filial. It's coming from that word. Filial, math means study. In other words, at that time, people are smart people. They know a lot of things in a very detail, not just one area. He was very famous in his, not only biology, but also physics. He has his own law. And right on the right, on your right side, there is a, what, do you know what that is? That is a, he actually found a dead surface cover of the cork tree, and he sliced it, and he looked at that. There are so many, this small chamber. And so he said, what is that? And he was the first person who discovered a dead plant cell. So he's actually the father of the cell biology. And he kind of looked at that, and he realized that is just like a lot of different small rooms in the monastery. And they, at that time, they called those small rooms cell. So he used the word cell to apply to the, we know, the cell of the living organism. But at that time, you know, this is the dead plant cell. But anyway, so whenever we say cell, it's coming from his idea. Now, the other one is Anthony van Leeuwenhoek. He's also another very important. He actually made about, they call 500 microscopes himself, and he sold it to people. But this microscope has 200 magnifications. So he's the first one who actually saw the living, working, live cell. And so he's the one who actually, with Robert Hooke, and they are the one who called that biology, you know, father of the biology. Now, from that time on, we have a lot more scientific understanding. So now we know, even we can count how many cells we have in our human body. It's a 36 trillion adult male and female about 28 trillion. Now, do you know how long it takes to count 1 trillion? I figure out, believe me, if you count one number 1 second, it takes about 1.2 million years. That many cells in our body here. This cell is a basic unit of living organism, right? And there are a lot of different organelles there, but I don't have time to explain that. But the interesting thing is, recently, a couple of decades ago, we found it out, not we, but the scientists find out, in our body, there are microorganisms living together with us. And their number is actually what? More than what human cells. So they are actually invader of our own existence. We carry them. We don't feel that, though. But because most of those microorganisms are actually what? Helping us. Like some bacteria, virus, and fungi. But when they become turned into a vicious one, then we got sick. So these days, there are a lot of research about this microbiome. And microbiome is now, they realize, they are producing a lot of this, actually, hormone precursors that help us physically and emotionally. So it's a symbiosis together. But these are very interesting, technology, that a discovery that we know. Now, in 2003, they called Human Genome Project. This is, government, NIH, and, their research, and they found it out. And finally, they are able to find the structure of this DNA. And there is this 3 billion base pair. I'm going to explain a little bit. But actually, I forget to write there, the money was about $3 billion also to have all this project. So as we see this small cell and inside the nucleus, and the nucleus, if you have magnifying that there is a chromosome, this chromosome actually is can be stretched out. It's all like a thread, and it becomes like a DNA. And then the DNA, part of the DNA become, we call gene. And then if you get into that, the gene is actually subdivided into nucleotide base pair, like guanine, cytosine, and adenine, and the thymine. These are all structurally organized. And think about this. This nucleus has about 2 microns. A micron means, if you have a micro, usually means a 6 division. In other words, 1 micron is a 1 centimeter to divide into million part, and one of them is micron. So it's so tiny, unless you have electronic microscope, you cannot understand. But the thing is, this longest DNA is about 2 meter. So this nucleus inside the cell has to have all this DNA information inside. It's just like this cell is only, according to the note here, nuclear size of nucleus is about 6 micron, but the DNA is about 2 meter, which means into the conversion with a micron, it actually about what? see. Yeah, it's about 2 million micron. So in other words, think about this, two inches of some size, and you want to put the 6 million inches of long line, put it into that compact, into that area. It's mind-boggling how they can do that, especially when you see here DNA, it is not a straight line. Two different, not straight line. It kind of bend, twisted, okay? Why they do that? Why twisted? Save the space. I don't know whether you had experience. Sometimes I work with a string. Sometimes everything is everything is like twisted and wrinkled and tangled, and I'm so frustrated, throw it away. I mean, all these DNA, these lines are all twisted, but when it starts to have a replicate, it just twists back. And then this here, the histone, is a special protein that acts like a spool. You know what the spool is? When you have a string, just put it in, and so it's very compacted. And so when this nucleosome is the one that actually helped to compact this DNA, it's so miracle how this DNA is get into the cell and then into the nucleus, and it's divided into two different, exact copies. So this karyogram is one that actually happened in human cell. You have 23 chromosomes, and the last one is XY. We can see this is a male because a woman is female. It should be XX. But how the modern geneticists said is they made the longest chromosome number 1 and smallest number 22. And they actually analyze all these things. This is part of this human genome process. So what actually happened is this is the one who, one of the in charge of, the, one of the scientists who in charge, and he said, when we finish this genome project, he said, now we can read the language of God. So this is actually a real attack to the evolutionary concept. If we believe this gene is actually a encoded letter that tells which protein you have to produce in a certain time, when certain gene is activated, and this is all recorded in terms of language, because language has a meaning. Evolutionary concept, there's no concept, there's no language, there's no idea they can put into there.
It's a theory.
Yeah, it's a theory. So this genome is very important for us to understand how God is working in human life. Now, I said that chromosome has 23, and then they now figure out chromosome number 1, which is the tallest one. It has called a prostate cancer. Is HPC 1. That gene is the one that when it become abnormally working, you can have this prostate cancer. And so, like glaucoma. So they figure out this. In other words, chromosome 1 has all these different genes, about 3,000 genes they discovered that. And it contains about 240 million base pair, which is ATGC that I said earlier. But they almost finished about 90% of determination what's going on. And so like chromosome number 4. And here, Parkinson's disease, they figure out. And then here, chromosome number 7, there is diabetes. That GCK gene is messed up, so become diabetes. And then obesity, OB gene. Easy to remember. Obesity gene is, you just say, chromosome 7, number 7, OB gene is the problem with the obesity. Then you're very well versed in this sense. So chromosome 7, about 1,800 genes contains, and then about 95% they determine. So these are what all the genes we talk about that. So it is a lot easier to diagnose where your problem is. And now, this is another article they call epigenetics. We know genetics so far, but epigenetic is epi. The word epi means above. So in other words, so far, what we have learned in the past was whatever gene you have, you're stuck with that the rest of your life. Of course, there are some genes you stuck with it from your parents because, you know, I'm Asian, so I'm stuck with that. I cannot become, you know, Caucasians. Those are stuck. But however, here it says, now your DNA is not your destiny, which means that your choice, your lifestyle will make, even though it doesn't change the gene itself, but it can make the gene to express or turn off or turn on certain genes because of your decision. It's very important concepts. So let me just wrap up my initial talk here today. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God performed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, the man become a living soul. So in other words, when God created Adam, he actually had Adam's form on the ground and every organs that he made inside and outside. But Adam is still no life. Okay, he has no life. He doesn't know what's going on. Just like when we die, there's nothing we don't know anything about. But when he gave a breath of life, then what? Man become a living what?
Soul.
Doesn't say man has a living soul now. No. Man become living soul. In other words, soul is man himself. Before that, man has no soul. But he become living soul. So what is the death? That is going backward. When breath of life leave, then body is just standstill there. Nothing going on. Brain is not working, so you don't know what you're thinking about. And that is where we have no soul. No soul. Many Christians think when you die, oh, your soul is in heaven and enjoying with God. And he just hove over you. Or if you didn't follow Jesus, your soul will be in the hell and eternal torture, things like that. I mean, if soul is, there's no soul because there's no body connected with the life source, and then there's nothing that will feel. So Bible has a different ideas. We have to understand that. Therefore, Jesus say, John 20, verse 22, it was after he was resurrected and he showed his disciple, you know, all these signs, his scar. It says, he breathed on them, said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So my question to you is this. I have my life here because God gave me the breath of life, but did he give only one time breath of life? That's it? A lot of time we think of God as a deism. You know what the deism means? Deism. Deism is, they believe with their reason, it started with like 17th or 18th centuries where they really worship the reason, human reason. Okay, so with their reason, no argument that we cannot deny God because there is something that is bigger than what we think. There's something that is more powerful than we have. So they believe the existence of God. However, they felt that God created everything, but he's like abandoned us. So he gave a breath, and then, okay, that's all you have, and he left. So he's not intervening with us. There's no human-God relationship. That is not the God we know from the Bible, right? So Acts chapter 17 says, God is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. In other words, you're now moving and you're acting like a human and move around and live because you are still in him. Because we cannot get rid of our connection with God. Because we are the one who try to avoid God, but God's still with us until the Holy Spirit finally departed. We know the Bible story about that. So here, Ellen White said, I know that in God I live, that every step I take, every beat of my heart, every motion of my pulse is what? The action of his power. In other words, God is not only give us the breath of life once, he is continuously giving that every moment of my life. That is what we have to understand. So here, this is old article, but I had the one article recently. I couldn't find it, so I will probably refer to later time. But here it says, 4 in 10 cases of cancer can be prevented largely through lifestyle changes. So when we say that our gene is not just fixed, there are some that are fixed, but there are other things we can change. It means that even if we, because of our mistake, the gene has some problem and it doesn't produce what it's supposed to do in terms of different protein, and we got ill, and then we can change it. So actually the epigenetic has a good news for us in a way, because it supports this new start concept. The last Bible here is Luke chapter 8, verse 45, 46. Jesus said, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceived the power going out from me. You know the story. 12 years of hemorrhaging lady. She was trying to come to the source of the healing power, Jesus Christ. And he finally touched her, and a lot of people surround Jesus Christ. But Jesus says, oh, somebody touched me. And the disciples said, no, there's so many people throwing you. So nobody touched you. No, Jesus said, because I sense my power went out to that person. Here the power is a dynamis. It's a life force. When God gave a breath of life, that is not just a quiet. It's a power that makes us to beat every moment of our hearts, and that give us pulse. So while you are living right now with this body, even though this is not really a true life, because only true life is eternal life. And until Jesus come and give us eternal life, we have only this life. But with this life, we still feel God's power. So my prayer is that through this new start concept, we can actually have God to come to my life and correct anything that needs to be corrected. So my life will be a joyful and happy life, so that we Christians should be the happiest people on this earth. Amen. That is my message. Thank you very much. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Bible, where we can find your plan and your ideas about how we live this life, physically and emotionally and spiritually. Please help us to meditate upon your message about new start concept, where we can truly have a new beginning, new start from this time on until you come. Be with us and all of us in our what we are doing this coming week. Protect us and keep us safe, because I ask all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.